They speak to the metaverse, but act like you know. You are now tuned into the Matthew and Rizzo show. Escape to the metaverse. Better act like you know. You are now tuned into the Matthew and Rizzo show.
Hello.
Greetings, sir. How you doing, Drago?
Not too bad. How are you, Matt?
Good. Just got free. My mother flew into town for like a week. So I was showing her around Portland with the family, and it was super fun, but obviously also super involved. So I feel like I was disconnected from everything for a year, basically.
Yeah, that's understandable.
How's everything been on your end?
Not too bad. Not a whole lot going on. I had dinner with a friend last night who I haven't seen in a year. Or no, 2 nights ago. Who I haven't seen in about a year. So that was fun.
Nice. Did I read correctly that you're...
Yes.
Amazing, dude. When we were in New York, everyone was like, where the hell's Drago? Why isn't he here? And I was like, yeah, we're trying to get him out. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, definitely. I'm excited. It'll be 15 hours.
Secrets.
You're doing awesome. It right. That's perfect.
Yes.
Yo, what up, Rizzle? Can you hear me?
Yeah, man. Can you hear me?
Yep. I think I had my volume on low from Afty's last week with show.
Back up. Understood.
Dude, what's up?
Oh, dude, I'm prepping for the whip this week, and we're having meme.com on, which is in-house one. They haven't come back since sort of previewing season zero, or like when season zero, or previewing that there was going to be a season zero. So anyway, man, they got their white paper draft like pretty much ready to go, and actually want some feedback from our audience on it. And so I'm like attempting to gamify some aspect of it to make it kind of fun. And actually just like totally fucked up the formatting of it, of like the whole white paper, trying to like pull some images from it and everything. And I'm like, holy shit, dude. So I just like messaged Flash Mob. I was like, dude, I think I just like fucked up your whole white paper. I'm really sorry. I'm just trying to prep for the whip tomorrow. But I'm stoked, man. I was actually just in the parcel, pulling in some fly juice from Wizard X, who's going to be on the whip, as well tomorrow. We're going to take a field trip over to his spot. So, you know, man, Wednesday afternoon, just doing some whip stuff, tying up some loose ends and breaking some things along the way, as, you know, as we do.
Oh, nice. Yeah. For folks listening, like I was taught, normally every Tuesday we have like a whip sync with the meme crew talking about like what we got lined up for Thursday's whip. I was out of commission just because my mother is visiting. So Rizzle's been holding it down for the whip design this week. Stoked for the update from Meme, and very stoked for Wizard X. He's been crushing it with the dank pixel gods and fly juice. He's a madman, dude.
Oh, dude, I feel like there's several people, more than several, man, but, Hexiosis, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it correctly, yep. Comes to mind. I've seen some of their art this morning on Warpcast and everything, and I was just thinking... Like, you know, this person has like stayed in their lane and like stuck to what they love to do. Spherical art comes to mind as well. You know, someone who really hasn't like deviated from what they love and their lane and what they like to do, despite like all the different cycles we've been through and everything. You know, you've got, you know, a lot of like artists and creators who, even if they don't stick to like the exact same like style or format or whatever, you can tell they're staying like very true to what they like and what they enjoy. And I feel like Wizard X like absolutely falls into that bucket, man. He just sort of like marches to the beat of his own drum, does the type of stuff he likes to do. And you know, if it catches on, you know, great, but you get the sense that he's you don't get the sense, man, you know, he's like one of us in terms of like just a tinkerer, someone who likes to play around with things. He's also a brilliant mind and a great artist in his own right. So, you know, you throw all that into the mix and you got Wizard X, and this has been a long time coming, man. We've almost had him on a couple times over the years, and then it fell through, but I believe this is a Wizard X debut on the whip.
Yeah, no, I believe that's true as well. it's so cool to see folks that like we're so close with, like we, our collector circles overlap. We've interacted like previously, but to have them like get their flowers and blow up, it's, you never get tired of seeing that. You never do.
No. And couldn't go to someone like more, I mean, it's, you never want to say who's like well-deserving or whatever, but yes, to what you're saying, man, he's been out here like the whole time. You know what I mean? Like never left, always experimenting, always doing things. So yeah, man, you love to see that type of hustle and grind and you know, approach to things get rewarded and everything. So so dude, I'm stoked, man. I met Wizard X like a couple years ago at NFT NYC outside of Coldy's thing, and got myself a Wizard X sticker, and he slipped a X copy Fly Juice sticker as well, that I still have like in a little special place or whatever. So this is gonna be dope, man. And we shouldn't overlook last week's either, man. Not only does Vipe like bring it, it was great to hear from like Sinks and you know, get a bunch of people dressed up as Grifter Squatties, but also, man, that platform we jumped into, Diverso, was really fun. Did I say it right? Diverso?
Yeah, I give the D a lot of emphasis in D-verso, but the verso also sounds pretty dope. It's an Italian outfit. They're actually jumping on the whip on the 23rd, so we can dig more into that project, because I was equally like, what the fuck? Like, how did I never hear about this world as well up until last week's whip? But the gameplay was super performant. I thought the Grifter, the Squatties looked really good in there. And dude, just like a whole nother like sandbox to play around and experiment with, basically.
Yeah, man. And it had like real slick Web3 integration too, which is why I was like surprised it had been off my radar. And Vipe had like multiple places in there already. And I was like, where the hell have I been, man? This is like pretty cool. I felt similarly when we went to, I'm slipping the name, the world where we're all shooting each other, the man who saved the world, or the man who, what the fuck? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. The one where like everything's on sale, or the man who sold everything. God, but they need to
work on. The man who sold the world.
Yeah, there we go. The man.
Like TMFTW or whatever. But that was similarly cool and a really dope concept and very Web3 and had just, you know, sort of been off the radar or whatever. And dude, what was very impressive to me about this was, you know, so I was like coordinating the event with Sinks and everything. And we're like, you know, Vipe is Vipe, man. So they have like, you know, a dozen different places we could potentially go to for a field trip. And so we're trying to sift through, and also trying to, they'd obviously just release the Grifter Squatties. So trying to find a place that accommodates them, but shows them off well. And this is always the interesting conversation in interoperability, even though you got these file types or whatever, because it's like, you know, they got spots in Nifty Island, but Nifty Island, getting them in there is a little jank. You got to like upload it to their thing and like all this stuff, you know, on Cyber. In theory, they work. Vipe has like some great places there, but the file type is too large for it. So you got to do some modifications to get it in there. Hyperfy, it works like pretty smoothly, but it's like a heavy avatar, so you know, you get to performance issues. Then we got to Diverso, man, and when I popped in just to check it out before the whip, I was like looking at the, you know, you, me, and Luke, we all got the same shirts, and they're like shiny and shimmery and everything, and they pop in this world. I feel like more than any of the other ones, at least on, you know, my end with my specs and everything, and so that was impressive, man, because I feel like, you know, this is a project where Toxam and Vipe and Sinks and them, they like really know what they're doing. So they're not purposely putting out a heavy avatar that is, you know, a bit more, you know, weighted in terms of like, you know, what it weighs in on the parcel and limits and, you know, that kind of thing. So to see it like supported already in like a really high end way, I was pretty impressed, man.
Yeah, no, that was like when we were in Hyperfy at first, I was like, oh shit, my Squatty's not popping. Like I wanted to pop, but then as soon as we opted into Diverso, it's like, all right, there we go. It's exactly how I wanted to get it to look. But I mean, that also sort of highlights some of these like early friction points with these avatars. It's like it's a very cool thing to collect, and I feel like, even though the the primary sale didn't sell out of all their supply. It actually didn't really make a huge dent in like the 4,000 some odd squatties that they had listed. Just making sure that it pops and everyone like sees their avatar in its full glory. Damn, that's that integration is definitely that's where a whole lot of the back end kind of like wheeling and dealing and work comes from, or like what teams need to orient around when they're creating these avatars, which is adds a whole another layer of complexity to it. So I wonder if there's any way to like optimize for that, or outside of just making like lighter avatars that work out of the box more. I don't know. That's a tough one.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Vipe has done that many mm-hmm. times, you know, super, you know, low friction avatars that are easy to get into everywhere. My Avocado is a great example. The Vipe Heroes are also a good example of that. Mm-hmm. So they definitely know how to build that. So that's why I thought this was interesting. You know, I feel like, you know, this is in my head, like a building for the future type of play. Like they're putting something very high end out there that even the platforms aren't quite ready to handle yet, the majority of them. But in theory, they have the capability for. And so, you know, a year or two down the line when, you know, they're easy to get in and out of all these places, you know, I think that, you know, people will probably look back on this one as like one of the more sophisticated drops that was like ahead of its time that came out. But this is like the plight of Vipe and a lot of us, man, sort of being like too far out in front to, you know, get the big, big traction. But, you know, hopefully it ends up like a WizardX situation, man. And Vipe has, I feel like they are, I don't know how they're doing on the internal company side, but I feel like they're blowing up in terms of like publicity and getting their hands in fucking everything, man. Like who's doing better avatar shit out there?
Yeah, no one. Like they are the gold standard. They are the, like, if anyone has any idea for a project in virtual space, like, it's Vipe. Like they're the go-to, and they have been for years. So it's, again, and it's not the end of squatties. I know Toxim keeps hinting at like what to do with the rest of unsold supply. And then like for folks that actually did purchase, I'm sure there's like extra shit coming potentially for us, who knows. But as one of the best builders in the space, always cooking up something cool. So excited to see what they have for everyone next. And if nothing else, they could be the dank cool avatar to put on during the whip or whatever, what we're doing in world. So that's always cool to see. Looking good. So good. I think in retrospect, I'm like, damn, I should have got a naked one. I think that's actually more of like, that's a hilarious kind of encounter in world where you see some of these naked squatties rolling around, just full frontal, full nude.
Yes. No. The design is good, man. No, I know a lot went into them, and I always, again, man, they are the gold standard, and respect that they're always pushing the limits, and they probably wouldn't be the gold standard if they weren't doing that. So, I don't know, man. This is a tough market, you know, for NFTs still, in terms of like, you know, outside of some outliers and everything, to sell like, you know, between 700 and 800 avatars in however much time that they did it. I feel like, you know, a year or two ago, that would be almost unheard of, except for maybe Vipe. I don't know how many Vipe Heroes they ended up selling through or whatever, but I'm like, you know, they're in competition with like almost nobody trying to sell avatars at scale. You know, I'm thinking of Misfit Pixels, and you know, there are some other ones, but you know, not a lot of people are doing it or able to do it effectively. So it's a tall task, but it's only, man, my kid plays Fortnite more and more these days, and he's got friends that he plays with, and they talk about avatars and like the cool ones and like all this shit, and I'm like, dude, there's only more and more of this down the line. So you know, we're just scratching the surface here.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, part of me is like, I think we're still sort of in the, obviously quite early, and the price discovery of like what folks are really comfortable paying for some of these avatars is definitely on the lower end. So part of me is just like, if they made the min price a little bit lower, would they like have sold out? Like, what's that sweet spot? Because I know Cody is also doing high end avatars, which I would classify the squaddies in, like just more of like a quote unquote premium price point for the avatar side of things. So, and it's cool to have high ambitious prices, but part of me is like, you also want more people to jump in here. You want the barriers to be sort of as low as possible while still like earning money to build and do cool shit. So hopefully we see some more like what are otherwise premium projects coming out slightly lower price points, just to see like what that sweet spot is, because 700, 800 avatars definitely is nothing to sniff at. It's a great feat in this market, but still it's like, you want more folks in there. You want more of that excitement. To your latter point, like the younger generation, like they're hyper online, right? I forget where I saw it. Like there's like a study breaking down generation by generation from boomers to Gen Z, whatever. Like, where do you feel most yourself? Like, and it was a binary, IRL or online. Boomers, of course, is like 80% in real life. That's where they vibe with. And then as you go down towards Gen Z, like Gen Z is like 70%. They feel more themselves online than IRL even, which is like potentially like a whole weird thing when it comes to the IRL interactions with them. But when it comes to online, that means it's like, damn, like what's their identity looking like? Are they all just totally in Fortnite and like Roblox and shit like that? Like, are those examples of something like what we experienced back in the day? Just maybe I'm dating myself, but with like Halo, you know, like playing a game for a while with your mates and then like just getting older and like developing new tastes, new preferences, and like finding a whole new world of shit to participate in. Like, are the young generation going to grow and expand? And is that where like avatars potentially have a place? Is that never going to happen? And like, we're all just like in our own forest doing our own thing, and we'll join up with the youth in Roblox and Fortnite in the future. That's sort of like where my mind goes thinking about all this.
Yeah, man, I think it all sort of merges in some way, because, you know, the more it's honestly fascinating to watch him play and interact with his friends in the game. And it's specifically like the, you know, there's an avatar culture surrounding this game, and it's somewhat involved in the game, not from like, it doesn't give you an advantage or anything. So it's just very interesting to me. But honestly, man, what they're doing together is not entirely much different than what we're doing at the Whip, if you just throw in like a little bit of learning and some DeFi on top of it or some shit, you know what I mean, some crypto or whatever. And you know, they're you know, having fun engaging with each other in a virtual environment, and they're talking about other shit, you know, at the same time as they're playing and everything. But the avatar culture around Fortnite in particular is my really only like frame of reference from that, you know, sphere or whatever. Is interesting, man, because, you know, similarly to like Web3 metaverse situation at this point, you know, I there's essentially like unlimited cool avatars out there, you know, and the trouble with Web3 is you can get them for free. You know, in Fortnite, you have to either earn them or like shell out some money for them or whatever. But like, there's so many players out there now, and there's so many different avatars out there, that there's certainly like a culture, you know, surrounding the years that have gone into this game. And so saying that to say, man, that from what I've observed, and, you know, this is just, you know, sidebar layman's observation, but I feel like the ones that that my kid and his friends are most impressed by, or think are the coolest, are either the latest, trendiest ones that not many people have yet, or old ones from like long seasons ago that are like hard to come by or hard to get, but everyone sort of knows those are like OG avatars. And so they command some respect because they're, you know, they've been around for a while. And then there's like unlimited other choices out there that are sort of like, you know, other things. And I feel like our space ends up in a similar type of thing, man. Almost for free, you can get whatever fanciest, flashiest avatar you want. But if you're like, you know, doing the metaverse fashion virtue signaling thing, you know, I think it essentially is going to boil down to trends and OG shit that, you know, people respect.
Yeah, that's super interesting. There's definitely overlap in like how this space operates too. So I guess it's just, man, I hope that we have this sort of like spillover effect when the generations and like folks in this side of the digital world merge with folks that are coming from the quote unquote like normie side of things, or like not crypto powered yet, so that we kind of like all come together and like intermingle and all that good shit. Because when that happens, that's going to be crazy. But the transition strategy to get there is sort of an open question at this point, just because everything is so distinct and sort of niche or broken out from one another still at this point. But there's so many similarities with how folks orient around and kind of ascribe value or just view these digital artifacts, that because of that, it feels like it's an inevitability that there's going to be this merging. And once something appeals to those folks from that world, it's just going to be like, again, we're only a click away from one another anyway. But once that like real kind of like, oh shit, like we're all the same anyway. And holy shit, look at all this OG stuff over here. And oh man, like this looks really dope. That's brand new. And not a lot of people found it yet. Like as soon as people really realize how similar we are, that's when I think the real magic will happen. But it's like, when, when will that happen to a large enough number of folks for it to matter, and for folks not to boo someone when they bring up crypto or whatever, like what happened at the Ohio State commencement speech or whatever that was going viral yesterday.
I missed that. I'll check it out. I mean, dude, I feel like we're getting there slowly, man. I saw, oh shit. Am I still there? Am I
gonna be there?
For a second. Dude, I saw Johan's getting, or I gave Johan some credit for having the first Crypto Voxels wearable, which I learned was actually an edition of 8. Johan owns one of them. It's ERC-115, which I didn't know.
I didn't know it was 1155 either. Until
So that was cool, man. I'm like, oh, cool. Someone else is digging into the history a little bit. And you know, if you sort of like ascribe to the theory that like, you know, these are the file types that we're rolling forward with, or this is the culture that we're rolling forward with, and you know, file types can be bridged and modified, you know, as necessary, you know, and still, you know, everything points back to the NFT, you know, or whatever. You know, I think more of that shit like continues to happen, and I saw a post from like Nate Alex a long time ago. That was talking about a similar theory like with CryptoKitties and Pokemon, and essentially that like, you know, there's millions of CryptoKitties out there. Who knows how many Pokemon cards are out there? Like the vast majority of them are worthless, but that doesn't negate the historical relevance or the value in particular ones that have particular, you know, meaning to people, you know, like the original Crypto Voxel sword and or, you know, wearable and that kind of thing. So the space is, you know, how long ago was that, man? Like five years ago, and we're still like way deep in the rabbit hole. But I think, you know, the more crypto friendly the world gets, the more crypto speeds up adoption of a whole lot of janky things, like as we've learned. So, you know, it may not have to get like quite as sophisticated, but you know, my son's chasing V-Bucks so he can get the skins, which obviously have no real world value, and neither do V-Bucks. But like, once there's some variation where you can cash that shit out, and it's just sticky enough, you know, Nifty Island is scratching at it a little bit. So I think we're, a few years out, but we're getting closer, man.
Yeah, I hope so, man. I hope so. Like, you see crosswinds coming on the regulatory front. It'll be interesting to see how shit plays out there like that, especially in the U.S. context. Like, this upcoming election feels quite pivotal in terms of like if administrations change and how that will kind of trickle down to the different regulators and their approaches to crypto. Because right now, man, Jesus, it feels like we were talking a few months back just about like final bosses and all that stuff. But it feels like it's not just like a final boss, it's like bosses. And it's like we're at like level one or stage one of encountering final bosses almost, potentially, depending on the outcome of these elections. I don't know. So that also plays into it as well.
Yeah, I feel like it's so hard to sift through what is actually going to happen that I try not to even pay too much attention to it until things actually like change. I was actually really surprised, like way back in the door when New York shut their doors on, or I forget, it was the entire state or just New York City or something. But I remember like being in the Poloniex trade troll box with like Robnus and Skrilla, and then like the notifications popping up that the, you know, New York was essentially going to be unable to access what had essentially been viewed as a decentralized platform, you know, all this time. But that was the first time I remember like things starting to get like sort of real. And then it was like, oh shit, man, do I need to start worrying about like, you know, a whole lot of things that hadn't been top of mind. So I don't know, man. It's all that shit is like so frustrating to me, because I feel like all roads lead to the same path where there's not much you can do about it, but we got to deal with a bunch of regulatory bullshit in the meantime, probably until they figure out there's not much you can do about it. And then, you know, we end up back there.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, I feel like I also am in that camp where it's like, there's not much they can really do at this point. But then, I don't know, part of me is just like, damn, are we like criminally underestimating just how diabolical some of those MFers may be? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
the FBI had that weird warning. It's like, that was basically, hey, don't be surprised if something happens and like your EOA wallets or like your MetaMask wallets or whatever somehow get like locked or frozen because of some like action that they take on the regulatory front. I'm like, why are they saying these things right now? Like, I don't know. It's kind of crazy seeing the FBI have those like PSAs popping up. It's like, that's quite sketch.
This is sort of why I'm glad I try to not pay attention to it, because that shit like tweaks me out and everything. But dude, I feel like I've seen this for a decade too, which is why I try not to even pay attention to it until some shit actually goes down that I, you know, am forced to pay attention to, because I feel like there's so much boogeyman stuff going on, and there's so many vested interests in there being boogeyman stuff going on and everything that it's, you know, I don't know. I try to not read too much into it, but I don't have a lot of faith in the people who are making decisions for on our behalf, knowing what the hell they're talking about. So that's always like a frightening aspect.
Yeah. So anyway, I need to just kind of like tune it out, so I stop tweaking out as well. Although, like, yeah, dude. Again, I feel like we've done enough where it's like shit's, I don't know what I use, like where most of the assets are. Confident in the code at this point, years and years in, almost a decade in for some of these projects. So yeah, well, the best is, sometimes the best you can do is just like good enough, knowing with all the resources available, and yeah, knowing what you know and past experience, blah blah blah. So probably good.
You know what's funny though, man, is I feel like after maybe it was one of these regulatory scares or whatever, I feel like we went through a period of like a year, maybe even 2 years, of people very, very hesitant to do anything with a token or, you know, an airdrop or a launch or like anything due to like, you know, concerns over it being labeled a security or whatever. And then it feels like in the past 6 months, everyone was like, fuck it, now's the time, token drop, airdrop, token launch. You know, we'll figure it out if they, you know, come after us, but we're taking advantage of this shit. And so I don't know, man, I don't know. Again, I try to stay out of the loop. So I don't think I'm not aware of anything massive that changed on the regulatory end that would have like prompted that, but it felt like people like sort of got tired of sitting by the sidelines and waiting for decisions to be made and, you know, saw the market go up and were like, yeah, whatever, Wild West, let's go.
Yeah, no. And also I think a lot of people moved to different jurisdictions so that they have more confidence in that shit too. I think that's part of it. And that's also the other thing. It's like the world's still really big and there's certain places that are like really open to it. So where there's a will, there's a way. And yeah, I think, anyway, more positive than negatives. Glass still very much half full, even on the regulatory, scary, like big bad bosses front.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I think if you're pro crypto, I feel like definitely glass half full. And I also feel like I, you know, and many of us who are in the US, like, you know, haven't inherently done anything wrong. And, you know, maybe there's different hoops to jump through or like anything, but you know, there's a lot of fucking people involved in crypto. So, you know, that's something that they're gonna have to sort out if they make any type of like regulatory stuff. But also, man, there's too much money flying around. So, you know, you close the, and like you said, the world's a big place. So you close the door in one place, someone's gonna open their door to all that money. It's a huge opportunity for someone else to, you know, get involved, you know, at someone else's expense or whatever. So, man, you know, I feel like if you're pro crypto, cat's out of the bag. Like you said, people are already just moving to the jurisdictions that, you know, allow them to do the things that they want to do anyway. And, mm-hmm. you know, I don't see how that changes or eventually just forces other countries' hands, including the U.S., to be like, all right, we don't want to miss out on all the pie and yeah. while everyone else is eating pie.
100%. Dude, other than scary regulatory topics, anything else pop up on your radar over the past week, crypto-wise?
MetaGuys and I are helping Babe Backner out curate a bunch of artists from the Whip community to have their art hosted on some billboards, I think in Belgium or something like that. But big shout out to Babe Backner for throwing a cool opportunity our way and getting our fam involved in something dope. And it seems like more and more of that stuff has been happening and will continue to happen. So also shout out to Carl, we'll just call him Carl from Cyber Brokers. We sent out the hats, the rest of the hats that everybody won a couple weeks ago. So people got their hats. If anyone had any trouble with the link or anything, let me know. I know Fabiano had a hiccup, but we figured it out. And dude, I've been cooking on all burners on Rizzlefest, man, working with Fly Frogs, getting the FAQ and the infographics lined up and ready to push out soon. But I have like so many people on the pre-sale list and we're, you know, keeping tickets, you know, under 75 or so that, I'm feeling pretty good about where things are at. And, you know, conversations have, you know, moved on heavily to like, making sure we got the food nailed down and, you know, what are we going to do with the bus and, you know, sponsorship shit. And, you know, it seems like all systems are go for like a pretty dope event this year. And the feedback or I don't know, feedback, the people who are already committed to come in, I'm pretty blown away by the turnout without even really done anything, man. I'm like, I was just saying in the meeting yesterday, I was like, dude, I haven't even really given anyone any info. And we have like, you know, 30 plus people on the commit list ready to go without even like a FAQ in their DM. So I feel like obligated to give people some information, at least the ones who have already committed to, you know, see if they really want to go forward with this thing. But we'll be doing the private pre-sale round, just the friends and fam round to the people who are already coming. To make sure they got tickets in the next couple weeks or so. And then probably when I get back from Lisbon, whatever's left will release to the rest of the people on the list, the maybes, which are significant, and see what happens from there. But it should be dope, dude. And, you know, the squad of people working on it this year is like a squad instead of just me and Sky Bravo, Harry Otter and Kelsey Driscoll and Legend of Nikita. And like everyone doing shit and everything, and it's only May, so I'm pretty stoked, man. That's been a lot of my energy lately.
That's awesome. Way ahead of schedule. This shit's gonna be so fun. That's the highlight of second half of the year for me, for sure. Heading out to that for the full show this time instead of just a couple of days. It's gonna be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be good, man. We'll have an extra full day in there this year. So if anyone's listening and I neglected to get them on the list and you were planning on coming and don't know if you're on it, hit me up. It'll be October 4th through the 7th with an option to stay an extra day before or after. But I think I'm going to be able to essentially back channel all these tickets. So I don't know if there will be any public tickets at all. Which honestly is ideal circumstances because I really didn't want dude, this is sort of like how am I trying to say this in like a not shitty way, man? So I'm you know, moderating or emceeing at NFC Summit, which I'm like extremely excited about. And all these people are coming out there. And an email came out the other day with like another wave of like speakers and everything. And which, you know, and a lot of them are like very big names. A lot of them are like the very big names who sort of like entered in 2021 and sort of are in their own circle in the NFT crypto world and everything. And it just made me grateful, man, that this event, that Rizzlefest is something that only the people who we want to be there are going to be there. And there's no riffraff. There's no, and not shading, not throwing any shade at all on people who entered in 2021, because there's a lot of people who stuck around. But there is a crew that I've, gotten into it, with, over the years, online and stuff. And, they'll be out there and everything. And, I'm like, man, Rizzlefest just already sounds like a breath of fresh air and like no stress and just kicking it with almost, it seems like it'll be about double the amount of people, but like all, essentially the people who came last year and all the people who we were saying came last year. A lot of those people are turning out, man. So I'll show you the list, man. I don't want to put it out there publicly until, tickets are in people's hands, but it's a pretty solid list.
Oh yeah, dude. Back channel is the way. Back channel sales.
Yeah, awesome, dude. Definitely, man. It'll be a nice crowd.
Boom. There we go. I think we covered everything, man. Right?
Yeah, man, pretty much. Stoked for the lead, trying to get this fly juice to not stick to the grifter squatty's hands and hyperfies. Oh, and fucking up Johan's white paper. So I got to go see if they, are mad at me. But I'm stoked for the whip tomorrow, man. We'll figure something out.
Boom. There you go. All right, dude. Well, let's get it. I'll see you in the metaverse tomorrow at the whip.
Good shit, man.
Peace.
Dessert.
All right. Later, Dragonites, mom. Later, Dragonite. See you tomorrow.